My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. With all the focus on the Republican tax reform plan getting passed just before Christmas, one of the major provisions in that bill is worthy of further examination, and that's the repeal of the individual mandate in the Affordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare. So what will that repeal accomplish on its own, and what should President Trump and Congress do as an encore in 2018? And Grace Marie, thanks for being with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Greg. So nice to be with you again to talk about some good news on the healthcare front for a change.
Yeah, we don't get a ton of that from your perspective. So the individual mandate was one of the most controversial and least popular provisions in Obamacare. Most folks know it forced people to purchase health insurance, including certain coverages they may not need or want. And if they didn't purchase it, they faced penalties at tax time. So what is the immediate significance of repealing the individual mandate?
But it's repealed starting next year. So they didn't get it done for this year, but it starts as of 2019, that provision goes away. And how really ironic it is that this was in the tax bill, because as we recall, the individual mandate was the subject of a huge, huge lawsuit that wound up before the Supreme Court with the 2012 decision in which Chief Justice Roberts decided that, yes, the individual mandate per se is unconstitutional, but it's not if we call it a tax. So he redefined it as a tax, even though the Obama administration insisted over and over it was not a tax, in order to allow it to stand. So I think the lovely irony is that the least popular, as you say, provision of Obamacare was repealed in the tax bill. It's a bit of a touche to the Supreme Court, and it was ineffective, Greg. It was not doing what it needed to do. The health insurance was so expensive that it was driving people away from policies, and it was, even with the penalties, even with the tax penalties, people still found it was cheaper to pay the penalties than to buy this expensive coverage. And the people who were most affected by these penalties were people making less than $50,000 a year. It's crazy. It was backfiring in all from all perspectives.
But as you pointed out, since the system wasn't working, people were still deciding not to take part. That was a big part of driving the costs higher for people who were in the market. And now that the mandate is gone and people can exit the system without penalty, how do we prevent these huge costs from getting even higher?
Well, it wasn't working as it was. People
right.
still were saying, if they were healthy, they're saying it's just not worth it. So the mandate was ineffective. The Congressional Budget Office over and over was assuming that the individual mandate somehow or another had these magic powers, and that if we didn't have the mandate, something like 22 million people were going to basically decide to not buy coverage. That every time that the Congress came up with a new repeal and replace bill this year, the Congressional Budget Office would slam it down by saying, you know, that 22 million people, 24 million people are going to lose their coverage because it would repeal the individual mandate. Well, the CBO finally, at the end of last year, began to come around and realize, you know what, it's really not working. We don't have 25 million people purchasing Obamacare coverage. It's actually like 8 or 9 million people. And it's not really going to get us to universal coverage, as the proponents of this law had indicated and had expected. So it wasn't working. It had the effect of killing reform legislation that would actually have made progress. So getting rid of the individual mandate is actually going to open the doors for Congress to be able to make changes to our health sector, some of it repealing and replacing Obamacare as they can under the rules of the Senate, which limit what they can do. But they'll actually be able to make better progress now that this is off the boat, the books, and the Congressional Budget Office can't use it as a weapon against passing needed legislation.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, I've seen some reports, which means I'm sure you've seen similar reports, that the president is about to greenlight association health plans that reportedly would have a much greater impact now that the mandate is gone than if he had unveiled that if, in fact, the mandate was still in place. And I guess this might be sunset to next year when the mandate actually goes away. But how big of an impact will that have and why?
There are several really important provisions that the president has been able to execute via executive order legally. And one of them, as you say, is to give people the chance to buy health coverage through their professional associations. Let's say you're a small contractor or you run a barbershop or a beauty parlor. You really can't afford to compete with the big guys in offering good health insurance to your workers. But if you were able to aggregate your policy with a lot of other similar businesses, then you could get the economies of scale. You could get more choices for your employees. And that's what this Association Health Plan executive order, which we expect any day, is going to be able to offer. Also, there's another thing the Trump administration is doing, and then this is going to take effect actually this year, is allowing people to purchase temporary health insurance policies. The Obama administration limited these policies to one policy for only 3 months. Well, what that means is if you're between jobs or you're starting a new business, you want health insurance, but you just want to buy it for a short term in order to be able to protect you and your family for, let's say, a year. The Obama administration said, no, you can't do that because they wanted to drive everybody into Obamacare. The Trump administration is saying, you know, people need this choice. And so we're going to allow them to buy these temporary policies, which don't have to have all of the huge armloads of benefits that Obamacare requires, to allow people to purchase the kind of policies that they want and work for their families. And these temporary policies can be renewed, let's say at the end of the year. You're still not on a footing to be able to get a, you know, full comprehensive health insurance policy, but you can renew the temporary policy. So it's really what they're trying to do is give people more choices and more options of the kind of coverage they want and new ways to purchase it, both temporary policies as well as these new Association Health Plan vehicles. And that's going to start ramping up this year so that when the individual mandate expires next year, people are going to have a lot more choices. And hopefully, Congress also will get its act together and pass legislation that really gives people even more relief from Obamacare.
I'm glad you brought up that last point, because I think some folks were a bit surprised by comments the president made right after the tax bill got passed as it related to the individual mandate. Here's what he said at the White House on December 20th.
The individual mandate is being repealed. When the individual mandate is being repealed, that means Obamacare is being repealed because they get their money from the individual mandate. So the individual mandate is being repealed. So in this bill, not only do we have massive tax cuts and tax reform, we have essentially repealed Obamacare, and we'll come up with something that will be much better.
And so, Grace, there's a lot of people who said what you just said. Hey, we got a lot more work to do here. They were taken a little bit aback by that. What was your reaction?
Well, I think he's enthusiastic because it is the least popular part of Obamacare, the most despised, I believe, really unconstitutional. So it's really good to get rid of it. But goodness gracious, there are still lots of things on the books. We're spending hundreds of billions of dollars still on subsidies for people who may decide that they would rather purchase a different kind of coverage. There's still being all the rules and regulations are still on the books about the kind of coverage that we have to purchase. The expansion of Medicaid to the point that many states are finding they can't begin to afford their share of the cost of Medicaid. All of that is still on the books. We've got to be able to give people more choices of coverage, give states a lot more authority in being able to approve the kind of health insurance policies that people want to buy, to allow the market to work, to bring more players into the market. In many parts of the country, people are still going to only have a choice of one plan. It's not a choice. We've got to bring new people into the market, new players. And in order to do that, you've got to devolve power back to the states, who actually know what they're doing much more than the federal government does in overseeing health insurance markets. So that's really, I think, going to be the focus of Congress this year, is helping the states to heal their nearly crushed individual health insurance markets and small group markets, to give people more choice, to bring new players into the market, and to give people a sense that they can purchase health insurance that doesn't cost more than their mortgage payment, which is what you're hearing over and over and over again.
Grace Marie, last question, and it's a tough one based on what we saw in 2017. What do you think will get done? It's a political midterm election year. There's a narrower margin for the GOP in the Senate, and the Democrats have obviously not shown any interest in helping when it comes to Obamacare reform. So what do you think can get done?
I really do believe that there is still going to be a huge incentive to fix this market. People cannot afford it. They want health insurance. They cannot afford it. They have got to figure out how to improve and heal these markets. That's going to take federal legislation. I think the Democrats are going to continue to focus on health care in the 2018 elections. And if Republicans don't act, they are going to be on the defensive. There are millions of people who are not eligible for the subsidies that are offered for many Obamacare policies to people who are in lower income categories. They are trying to purchase health insurance. They can't afford it. They need relief. We've got to allow these markets to work better, and I believe that the Congress is going to have to step this up. They may decide that they're going to do it in different pieces of legislation, not one big repeal and replace bill. So maybe this individual mandate repeal in the tax bill is the first step toward a series of reforms to begin to heal our health insurance markets from the real damage that has been done by Obamacare.
So they're going to get it done because they have to.
Yeah, and that's kind of the only time they do anything, right, when they really have to. But I think for their own political survival, they're going to have to take some action this year on health reform. But it's competing with infrastructure, with immigration. Speaker Ryan has basically said that he wants to do entitlement reform. So it doesn't have the same energy and imperative that it did at the beginning of 2017 because they have faced so many failures, and they've really been wounded by this. But I believe that the voters are going to insist that they take action this year. And, you know, they've basically got 6 months to do it, because if you want to have change for the 2019 health insurance markets, they need to have taken legislative action by this coming summer. And we're working very, very hard with the administration and with members of Congress. Several meetings already this week are lined up to help them to shape a health insurance and a health reform bill that really could help people and allow these markets to heal.
Hitting the ground running in 2018. Grace Marie, thanks so much for your insights, and we'll be eager to see what happens on the floors of the House and the Senate as the months go by. Thanks so much for your time.
Wonderful.
Today.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.